So I would say that it's super important to do some sort of shakedown sale for the spring so that you don't end up like me and find a bunch of bats living in your mainsail, or like Graham, where he had a wasp nest fall out of his mainsail when he went out racing. So yeah, having some sort of shakedown sale will really help you get organized for the season, and you can start off the season on the right foot. Hey there, and welcome to Your Pocket Sailing Instructor, the number one educational podcast all about sailing. I'm Penny Caldwell, and I have been a sailing coach for over 25 years now. I'm here to help you reach your sailing goals. Whether you're looking for gear reviews, safety tips, or just some fun sailing stories, this podcast will have it all. Your Pocket Sailing Instructor is an educational and fun podcast all about things sailing. I plan on releasing weekly episodes every Monday to help you start off your week on a high note. So grab your coffee and join me for your weekly dose of all things sailing. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Your Pocket Sailing Instructor, the number one educational sailing podcast in the world. I am so excited to have you join me today. I'm Penny, your host, and this week we are going to jump into talking a little bit about spring. Spring is starting to spring around where I am, and I'm pretty excited to get back out on the water and get my boats into tip-top shape, and off we go. So pretty exciting times. The other thing that's really exciting about this week is actually it's my last week at work at my full-time job, and I am actually taking a three-month leave this summer so that I can focus more on sailing and coaching full-time and the podcast and growing Sail Nelson, and obviously focus a lot more time on family and camping. So I'm really excited to have this opportunity. I feel very lucky to have this opportunity. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like life has just been speeding up and going faster and faster. And I've talked to quite a few people, actually, of, you know, talking a little bit about post-COVID and how we're feeling about the pace of things. And I wonder, too, if that's definitely played a part in just feeling like things have sped up. So looking forward to getting one major thing off my plate, which is a full-time job. Unfortunately, that also includes the paycheck that goes with it, but I will deal with that, and those are future Penny problems. But anyway, so today we're going to jump into talking about spring, and I'm going to specifically talk about doing a spring shakedown sale. So this is basically, you know, kind of the first time you're getting out on your boat, and some of the tips and tricks and things that I think you should focus some of your energy on to make sure that your boat is in tip-top shape for the summer, and to make sure that you don't have any unexpected occurrences on your boat when you head out for your first sail. Myself, it wasn't my first sail, but I had an experience where the boat had been left at the marina probably about like maybe a week or two. I had gone back east, back home to go visit family, and I came back and I did a course, and we put up the mainsail and a whole bunch of bats flew out. So that was an experience. And Graham, actually, he took his boat out for a race night. Ironically, my husband was racing with him, and it was quite funny because he put up his mainsail and a big wasp nest pretty much landed in my husband's lap. So that started a whole bunch of excitement on the boat. Thankfully, everybody was fine, and I don't think there were too many stings, but you know, those types of things, sometimes they happen. So you might have something unexpected happen on the boat, which that's just the way life goes. But in this case, what we're going to do is talk a little bit about spring shakedowns and things that you can do to get yourself ready so you can kind of limit some of those unexpected things happening on the boat. So kind of what goes along with this also, and I'm going to touch on this a little bit more over the next few episodes, is spring maintenance. So if you haven't already, I have a spring maintenance checklist that's available for everyone, free download at sailnelson.com, and you can just have a look at episode 51 actually was all about spring maintenance. I recorded that one last year, and I'm going to do some upgraded versions of that this year because it is important, and I get a lot of questions about spring maintenance. So feel free to head over to episode number 51 to have a listen if you haven't listened to it yet, but also at sailnelson.com/podcast to get the download there of spring maintenance. So the things that you are looking for when you are getting ready to unpackage your beautiful boat for the season. We'll call it unpackaging, unveiling. You basically are going to kind of do a full once over of the boat, especially if you are in a situation where your boat is out of the water. You can really access a lot of things, namely your keel, all of your through hulls, your rudder. You can really take a good look at things. If you're like us here in Nelson, BC, we leave our boats in the water, and you might not have the luxury of doing a full check. But one thing that I have found over the years that's really helpful is there's so much technology now that we can use to our advantage to have a look at things underwater. So such as a GoPro, for instance, that you can put on a selfie stick, or if you're cheap like me, I put it on the end of a ski pole and I just put that under the boat, do a walkabout, and then I'll download the video and have a good look and just see if there's anything in particular. Again, I'm not expecting much. We're in a freshwater lake, so thankfully I don't have to worry about critters growing on my hull. We definitely do get some growth and marine growth at the bottom of the boat. And unless I have run aground or hit something, which thankfully I have yet to do, basically there's not much for me to look at, but it is good just to have a good walkabout and a check. One thing that I have heard from some fellow sailors, and I've also seen a few times on YouTube as well, is that unfortunately, because of the amount of garbage that is ending up in our waterways, that sometimes people will have instances where something will get sucked up or something will get stuck, particularly with the cold water intake for their engine, for instance. So if you have an inboard engine that is cooled with seawater, you will have a seacock, which is a hole that goes through the hull. It's meant to be there. It's all good. And basically, it is drawing seawater in and it's cooling the engine using the seawater. So I have heard of people having issues if they don't have a screen on that particular through hull, that they have things that have gotten stuck, whether it's like a plastic bag or, you know, garbage. Chip bags are kind of notorious for that kind of thing. So some of the times, you know, it is beneficial just to do a walkabout and to have a good look at what could potentially be happening under your boat. But moving into our spring maintenance, let's have a quick chat about the spring maintenance checklist. So one of the things I like to check is the hull. Like I mentioned, we're checking through hulls, you're checking your rudder, any attachment points. I check where my ladder is attached on the transom. I'm also checking my outboard motor mount, and basically anything that I can get my hands on. So hull, you're going to want to do a good check of your standing rigging. And the standing rigging, just a reminder, is all of the basic wires. Sometimes you have wires, bigger, larger boats might have rods, but basically your standing rigging, its job is to hold up your mast and to provide the stability, the vertical stability for your mast. So your standing rigging is composed of your shrouds, which are on the side. Depending on the size of your boat, most boats 24 and up will have at least two sets of shrouds. You'll have an upper and a lower. And then you will also have spreaders. Those are the things that are pushing the shrouds out. And you will also have a forestay. And normally you will have some sort of backstay. There are some brands of boats that do not have a backstay, like a Hunter, for instance. But most boats traditionally will have some sort of backstay, whether it's a fixed or an adjustable or whatever. And I am going to do another episode all about standing rigging, because I had one of my patrons, Francois. Hi, Francois. He has particularly specifically asked for standing rigging kind of tips and trying to figure out when you should replace it, what to look for, and all that kind of stuff. So I will definitely dig into that. But for your standing rigging checks for spring maintenance, you're checking your turnbuckles, which are the attachments down at the base of the shroud. So checking the wire to make sure there's no kind of fraying or really weird kinks. And then you're checking the turnbuckles, which attach to the shrouds. And then you're also checking your chain plates. Now, the chain plates can be a little difficult to check sometimes, but they are basically attaching the shroud to the deck. And a lot of times there is a larger piece that is below the deck that you can't see that is also attached to the hull. And the things that you're checking here in particular, I find this is a really good spot for water to start to get in over the years. So you might be looking at trying to re-caulk or kind of reinstall the chain plates, which is kind of a big, I don't want to say big job, but it's not something to take too lightly. So you may or may not want to bite that off on your own. But that is a really typical place where you will have water come in just because of the flex. The other thing that you're looking for as well is you're looking for any kind of spider cracks and any weaknesses in your deck, specifically around where those chain plates are going through the deck. That's going to give you a really big hint that there's water getting in there and potentially the core of your deck or the hull, depending on how it's set up, could be compromised. So I don't want to get too dark in that one. I feel like we just went to a dark place. But standing rigging, something you definitely want to check. To make sure that there's no kind of shrouds that are starting to split or anything like that. It's basically just twisted wire, basically. So sometimes you might have a wire come loose. I would say put on a pair of gloves when you check that and you run your hands along them. I've had a few times where I've gotten like one of those really little slivers of metal. Really not pleasant to get that stuck in your finger, but live and learn. Same thing with the forestay and backstay. You'll have some sort of turnbuckle there. And potentially on your forestay, you might have a furling set up. So have a look at that and make sure that none of your split rings have walked away. None of your shackles have managed to come undone or you haven't lost any pins, that kind of thing. Then you're going to also want to check into your running rigging. So the running rigging is the rigging that we use all of the time. So standing rigging, just like the name, it helps the mast stand up. Generally, you adjust it at the beginning of the year and you don't touch it after that. The other thing I should mention, to adjust your standing rigging, you're going to end up probably using some sort of gauge. So there's different types of gauges you can get. I think the loose gauge is one of the more common ones, but basically you check the kind of amount of pressure that is on your standing rigging. And they have a table to kind of explain and show you how to do that. And there are definitely videos on YouTube that will also show you how to check the tension for your standing rigging. So running rigging is the stuff that you're using all the time. So in this case, we're going to start to look at our sheets and the different ropes that are on the boat. We're looking at our jib sheets, our main sheet, boom vang, traveler, Cunningham, outhaul, reefing lines. So you're checking all of these different, all your halyards, I don't know if I said halyards, but all of your different ropes that are on the boat that could potentially have been damaged or broken down, or they're just getting to the end of their useful life, and you are potentially thinking about replacing those, or just having a look to see if anything is wearing down, if there are any wear points where you have it going through a fair lead, let's say, or maybe a winch or whatever. So one of the things that I like to do with my running rigging in particular is I like to try and stagger each year replacing a piece of my running rigging. So that way, hopefully, in my mind, theoretically, I'm not going to end up having to replace everything at the same time. So one year I might replace my foresail halyard, so my Genoa halyard or whatever, I'm going to replace that. Next year I might replace my main halyard. Year after that, I might replace my boom vang, and so on. And that way I'm kind of put everything onto a bit of a different schedule. I mean, they don't necessarily wear down equally and they don't necessarily have the same type of stress on them, but you know, in that case, hopefully I am creating a bit of a system where I can end up replacing things on a bit of a different schedule. So I don't have to all of a sudden pull a couple $1,000 out of my pocket and replace every inch of rope. So after your running rigging, definitely check into your sails. This year with one of my sails, I found a couple of kind of not necessarily rips, but little spots that I could tell were starting to wear down, little pinholes. So definitely things to keep an eye on. I found a couple of threads that were starting to pull, so I managed to get those kind of tightened up a little bit, and just kind of, again, making sure that you're doing a check over of your sails, see if you have any issues. And then I also like to go through my plumbing and electrical. I don't do a deep dive in this case. Plumbing and electrical, I'm just having a look to see if anything is leaking, especially any new kind of leaks. My water tank is a little bit older. Potentially it's starting to crack. Unfortunately, it's in a bit of a spot where I tend to I'm airing some dirty laundry here, but it's in a bit of a spot where when I go, I have to climb into some of my aft lockers that are in the cockpit. They're really deep. And so I climb into them sometimes to find things and do maintenance on the motor and all that kind of stuff. And I'll admit that I step on my water tank, which you shouldn't do, but I step on it sometimes and I have a crack there that I have created because I kind of fell on it at one point. So, something to keep an eye on. But if you are having water coming into the boat, you know, this is something that you would kind of give yourself a little bit of a heads up and say, oh yeah, you know, I've got that crack that I created when I was a spaz and I fell onto my water tank. So keep an eye on that. If it's in a different part of the boat where you're not expecting to have water, well, what could that mean? You know, does your head plumbing, to some of the hosing, do they need to be replaced? Are they starting to crack or wear down? Or maybe some of the plastic bits and pieces that are part of the head handle setup, maybe that's starting to go and so on. So just doing kind of a quick kind of go through. You can maybe put gloves on and run your hand around things and whatever. Electrical, same kind of idea. I just go through my panel to make sure everything is still working properly. I make sure that my batteries are nice and topped up. I bring those home over the winter and I keep them in the house in our furnace room, and I have them on a trickle charger that I rotate around between, let's see, how many boats? We have 4 boats now, and we have a camper. And I think that's it for batteries. So probably 2 batteries for each thing. So we have quite a few different batteries that we have charging, and we make sure that we do not charge them all the time. That is also a key thing. Your batteries will emit hydrogen when they are charging, which is extremely dangerous. So do not plug in your battery, especially in an enclosed space, and just leave it. Just tip there. So what I do is I rotate the battery, and honestly, I plug them in maybe for a day every 2-3 months. Like it's only once or twice that I'll actually charge them up. So it's not a ton of time, but anyway, so I will have a look at any wiring that is exposed and just make sure that it's not being pinched or caught on anything, especially when I am taking things and putting things back into the boat. I tend to empty a lot of things out of the boat because I do store a lot of things in the boat for teaching. I have a lot of teaching aids and a lot of, spare clothes. I keep those on the boat for people who forget things, and I have blankets and all that kind of stuff. So all of that needs to come off of the boat in the off season, just so I don't have any extra spots where mold can grow. So, and then I just kind of do a quick cleanup, cabin, that kind of thing. I will do an engine check. My engine checks tend to be a little bit more thorough since my engine is such a pain in the butt. But checking hoses, clamps, spark plugs, that kind of thing. Each engine has kind of its own mind. And so you will get used to how your particular engine works, and you'll get used to kind of knowing what to look for. Now, I was not planning on spending that much time with the spring checklist, so that is a pretty good summary of kind of the spring things that you should go through. Now, let's have a little chat about a shakedown sail. So shakedown sail, what I'm talking about, basically get out on your boat, head out, do some maneuvering under power, do some docking and undocking, and then basically you're going to put up your sails, make sure there's no surprises in there, and making sure that you remember how to do all of these things. So what that looks like for me is making sure that I can start my engine, whether that is by battery start or pull start. We have a few different options on our boats. So making sure that the engine is ready to go, making sure I have my cooling water, making sure my fuel is topped up, making sure before I disconnect any dock lines that my gears work forward and reverse. And then I will basically head out. So I will undock the boat, make sure that everything feels good with maneuvering. I head out of the marina and I'll do some figure eights and forward. I'll do some figure eights in reverse, just kind of reacquaint myself with how the boat handles, making sure that everything feels good, making sure, you know, one of the things that happens on Spindrift in particular is I have these bolts that connect the tiller to the tiller post. Or the rudder post, sorry. And I find that they kind of loosen off every once in a while, or depending on the weather, there's a little bit more play there. So definitely taking the boat out and doing some circles gives me an idea of how the tiller particularly feels, and making sure that, you know, I haven't lost a nut or something and everything is starting to loosen off. So I'll do some maneuvering under power. And then the next thing that I will do is I will get my sails up. So I will unfurl my foresail. I'll make sure that my furler is working well. I will make sure that I take my sails off of the boat for the winter. So I guess I should back up at the dock. I'm going to put my sails back onto the boat. So I will attach the halyards for my mainsail. What I do is I just feed the slugs, sail slugs, into the gap in the mast, so the slot. And for the foresail, I will basically, if I am head to wind when I'm at the dock, I will basically put the halyard on and feed it up through the furler to make sure it's working well. So one of the things that I do actually is I will give the tracks on the mast and my furler a bit of a spray with a lubricant, just to see, like, just to kind of make sure that things are going to work easily for me. I find that sometimes they get a bit stuck, so I just use like a clear silicone lubricant. And I keep that on the boat all the time because sometimes I need it during the season. So sails are on. So now I'm out on the water. I've done my maneuvering under power. And now what I want to do is put my sails up or unfurl them and just see what's what. So I will unfurl the Genoa, make sure that I have fed my jib sheets properly. Sometimes people will forget if they go, you know, inside the shroud or outside the shroud or under the lifeline here or over the lifeline there. And sometimes the positioning of the fairleads might be in the wrong spot. So kind of just doing all of those checks to make sure your fairleads in a good position, jib sheets are on securely. You've got 8 knots at the ends of your jib sheets. Your winches are still working properly. They're still turning well. You might want to grease your winches as well for the season. So a whole bunch of ideas there. And then with the mainsail, I'll put the mainsail up. I will make sure that I've remembered to put all my battens back in. Make sure that the batten pockets are all secure, making sure that my reef points still look like they're in good shape, and also make sure that my reef lines are fed into the sail and ready to go. That's one of the things that I do. I do a jiffy. It's called jiffy slab reefing. And basically it just means that there is a rope that is already fed into the sail at the reef point. So if I have to reef, I grab that line, I pull it nice and tight, and that will pull my sail down and nice and tight. And it's a very quick reefing system. And for those of you who are new and not sure what I'm talking about, reefing is when we decrease the size of the mainsail. So in this case, we have some heavier wind coming through and we need to get control back with the mainsail. We're being overpowered, basically. And then what I'll do is I'll probably go through a sailing circle and I will do all my different points of sail, do a jibe, do a couple tacks. Again, just making sure that the boat overall is feeling good. Things are moving properly. Traveler isn't getting stuck, or my backstay is not kinked or whatever. So really just you're looking to literally do a shakedown. Just get out there, get the cobwebs out, get reacquainted with how things work, get reacquainted with how long it takes you to do things. So I've talked about a few times on the podcast about how it's important to be able to do some of those quick maneuvers, like a crew overboard maneuver, for instance, or reefing, any of those emergency types of maneuvers. I think it's really important to nail down your routine or the steps that you are going to do to properly do those things on your boat. So maybe you do a couple crew overboard maneuvers, put in a reef, shake out a reef, heave to a few times, do a few jibes, all that kind of stuff. And then basically after that, I'm, you know, flaking my mainsail, getting everything tied up again, getting my mainsail cover on, making sure that a lot of times, I don't know why, it seems like every year I have to re-sew my mainsail cover. It just seems to come unraveled all the time. But so if I have any little sewing jobs I need to do, I'll pack those up and bring them home. But otherwise, just ready to head back into the dock. Got all my dock lines on there, ready to go. And hopefully head back into the dock with no issues and dock like a boss. I just want to take a minute to give a big shout out to my patrons. You guys are a huge support for me. You help to make these episodes possible, so thank you so much. For those of you who are not familiar with Patreon, it's a way for you to help support content creators like myself through a subscription. For as little as $3 a month, you can support my little podcast to reach many more people, and it will help me bring you new episodes every single week. Check it out today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/yourpocketsailinginstructor. That's patreon.com/yourpocketsailinginstructor. One last time, patreon.com/yourpocketsailinginstructor. And I so appreciate your support. Now let's get back to our episode. So basically what we're looking for here is to do kind of an overall pulse of the boat. Where are we at? What do we need to fix? What did we forget to do over the winter or the off season that I should have fixed? What is new that might have happened over the winter? So just get an idea of kind of setting yourself up for success for your season. So I hope that you have found this episode helpful as far as giving you some ideas for how to get ready for your spring and how to set yourself up for a really good summer of sailing, depending on where you are and which season you're in. But these are some ideas of how to do a bit of a shakedown sail and some spring maintenance checks that you can do to make sure that you are getting the boat set up to really kind of be efficient and sail really well. And hopefully it helps you also kind of stay on top of your to-do list. If you're a boat owner, and then you would know that there's constantly something to be done on the boat. And it seems like it's a never-ending kind of process. But if you can kind of stay ahead of things and keep a little bit of a to-do list going, and you can kind of alternate or rotate some of your maintenance, like I was talking about with the running rigging, how I like to replace things every year or two so that I can kind of stagger when things need to be replaced. I do that pretty much with a lot of the systems on the boat. I do that with my plumbing as well. I'll upgrade some plumbing. You know, I've upgraded my sink, for instance, and I have a foot pedal that I use for my fresh water. So I upgraded that plumbing, and probably this season, potentially next season, I'm going to update the head plumbing and just kind of work away on things like that so that you can kind of stay ahead of it a little bit. So anyways, that's what I have for you this week. I hope you enjoyed, and I am looking forward to chatting with you guys again next week when I am off and technically unemployed, but I'm not going to think about that, and I'm going to enjoy it and embrace it. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.